Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, May 29th. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from the son of a murdered man after the suspected killer was found guilty. There's also calls from residents in Chatham to knock down an abandoned school that's been targeted by arsonists and vandals. But first, taking a look at our top story today, and this is one of our most read stories on the website. A Kent pub is having its license reviewed after undercover police officers heard a barmaid warn drinkers to hide their drugs before police arrived. Lucy's been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. Luce, first of all, can you tell us when and where this happened?
Well, this all happened at the Providence Inn in Sandgate on March 7th, and it was during a covert operation from police targeting drug use in pubs and bars. Two undercover officers entered the pub at around 8:30pm and ordered non-alcoholic drinks. A short time later, one of the officers saw a blonde barmaid, the same one who'd served them, approach a group of customers and whisper, "The police are on their way with sniffer dogs. If you have anything on you, you need to leave now." It's reported she then moved from group to group, issuing a similar warning. Soon after, uniformed officers and sniffer dogs arrived. They carried out searches and found suspected cocaine on one person and under a bench outside.
And what did the barmaid have to say when she was challenged by police?
Well, the barmaid asked to speak to one of the officers privately and then explained her boss has told her to go around and tell the customers to get rid of their drugs, as police had been in another venue earlier in the night. However, the landlord, Chris Frost, later told police he'd only mentioned to the employee that police had been conducting checks at another venue earlier that night. He admitted the comments were a mistake, but police said the behaviour raised serious concerns about whether he was a fit and proper person to be running the premises.
And now there'll be a licence review.
Yes, that's right. The landlord was told that to avoid a possible review, he'll have to step down and he could no longer employ the barmaid. He's also been told he needs to recruit security staff for two weekends, ensure adequate CCTV coverage and add a written drugs policy to the pub's licence. While Mr. Frost agreed to the changes, there was a delay in transferring the designated premises supervisor, so the review will still take place. It's happening on Monday, June 2nd. A spokesperson for the Providence Inn told the Kent Online podcast they are fully compliant with everything police requested.
Thanks, Luce. Another one of our top stories today. A man's been found guilty of murdering a grandfather whose body was found in woodland after going missing from Tunbridge Wells. 54-year-old Wayne Woodgate was last seen in the Good Station Roads area in October last year. A court said he was killed by Stephen Castle from Hastings Road in Matfield over a long-standing grudge. This is the moment the 59-year-old was arrested.
Right, so...
I'll tell you what, I've committed armed robbery, I think.
No, we're going to be arresting you today.
Right.
Okay, so on suspicion of kidnap.
Right,
so you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence. So you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention or question something which you later rely on court.
Yeah, okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, necessity obviously to print. Further harm, anything like that. We'll get that in a second.
We'll
just get that in a second.
We'll do a quick
right?
Search.
Yeah. Yeah?
Okay. So, Stephen, so you've been arrested on suspicion of kidnap, okay? And the victim has not been found, okay? So I'll be conducting an urgent interview, okay? So I'm just reminding you that you remain under caution, okay? Yeah, so I'll just go into explain that to you. So, were you with Wayne Woodgate today?
Yeah, I meet him every couple of weeks to get some drugs.
To get some drugs?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you go with him in the van today?
Dropped him off at Ferndale.
Dropped him off at Ferndale?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What address on Ferndale?
We just dropped him off.
Okay. Just on the road?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where is Wayne now?
I don't know where he is, but...
Okay. Is he safe?
How would I know that? He was when we left him.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
He's under my bed in my flat.
Sorry?
Under my bed in my flat.
Who is?
Wayne, in a suitcase. Of course he's not.
Okay.
He's due to be sentenced on June 26th. Wayne's son George spoke outside of court.
To the unknown 999 caller who saw the beginnings of our dad's end. To the brave woman who took a chance, who saw something that wasn't quite right and did the right thing. thank you. And beyond that, to every man and woman with the capacity to know right from wrong, if you find yourself in the difficult position of witnessing something that must be wrong, don't take the chance. If you have a hunch that somebody could be in danger, don't take the chance. Follow your gut, because you might save a life. Our hope now is that people remember our dad, Wayne, not for the falsehoods spoken about him throughout this trial, but for the man he truly was, caring, resilient, and irreplaceable. Categorically, Wayne did not deserve what he suffered, and we will remember him and honour him in everything we do. As a family, we will move forward together, simply because we must. But our lives are forever changed, and we will never be the same without him.
Kent Online News.
A man who left three women injured in a head-on crash in Canterbury has avoided a prison sentence. John Spain's car was on the wrong side of Stone Street when it collided with an oncoming Land Rover in June 2022. The 64-year-old from Rectory Lane in Hythe has been given a suspended jail term and a two-year driving ban. A man who tried to flee the country after being linked to burglaries in Canterbury has been sent to prison for 3 years. Gary King, who doesn't have a permanent address, was added to Kent Police's most wanted list earlier this year. The 43-year-old was caught in Wales trying to get on a ferry to Ireland. Four teenagers have been questioned about a break-in at the former adult education building in Maidstone. Several windows of the site in St Faith Street were smashed over the weekend. A group aged 13 and 14 were detained while their parents were called. Now, seven people have been arrested after two war memorial plaques were stolen from a churchyard in Chatham. They were taken from Christchurch in Luton Road last Friday night. They listed the names of soldiers who died in the First World War. One of the plaques has been found at a scrapyard in Essex, but the other is still missing. The suspects, who are aged between 22 and 51, remain in custody. Tony King lives in the area and has been researching the plaques and the people named on them.
There's still a lot of family members that have men commemorated on that memorial, and there's over 157 men on the memorial, including my own family that are on there. So it's I've spoken to Andrea, the vicar. We didn't long ago have a re-commemoration of one of the men that was on the memorial. The Commonwealth War Graves Commission rededicated a headstone to John Scrace, who was a lieutenant in the Royal Flying Corps, who died, and he's buried somewhere in the churchyard. And that was recently rededicated. So it's still in people's memories. So this theft is, it's an absolute disgrace, to be honest.
I understand it's doubly devastating for you, as you've been researching this plaque and some of the young men which were listed on this for a few years now. Tell us a little bit about why you're doing that research, I mean, and also what this means for you personally.
I've been researching it now for a number of years, maybe 6 or 7 years now in my spare time. Unfortunately, I don't get to spend on it. But it's been a bit of a passion of mine for a number of years. I'm a collector of military, especially medals, to the First World War era. I have several to local men in the area. So being that my family were from Luton, you know, my mother, father, grandparents, it's more than just important. It's been a passion of mine now for a number of years. So I'm nearly at a point where I've finished. This has just been a little bit of a kick in the side, really, to find this out, especially where I'm nearly finished with all the research myself.
And obviously, World War One was more than 100 years ago now, so none of the men who fought in that battle are now alive. So it's these memorials which are a reporter reminder of what happened, and often cited as a reason why they shouldn't have a war like this shouldn't happen again. So this is a real loss for the community, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a devastating loss for the community. Like you say, they've been there over 100 years, and this is just mindless. I mean, they're not even going to be worth that amount of money in scrap value. They're worth so much more. They're priceless to the community. There is actually a £500 reward being offered via the church for information leading to the retrieval of the plaques as well.
Do we have any idea of a reason why somebody might want to steal these? Do we know if they have some value behind them?
This is the only thing we can think of. It's the fact that, I mean, we, they're bronze plaques, so that they're going to command a small amount of money in scrap value. We're not even sure of their weight, but it's really going to be a pittance compared to what they're worth to the people of the surrounding area.
Kent Online News.
Figures show a 10% drop in crime in Kent over the last 4 years, but there's still a rise in shoplifting and fraud. More than 160,000 offences were reported in total last year. The county's chief constable says there'll be no let-up in bringing people to justice. Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service has been speaking to Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott. First, let's hear about the good news.
We've seen crime fall by 10% over the last 4 years. In real terms, that means 15,000 fewer victims of crime, and they're addressing the issues that matter. They attended 98% of burglaries, burglary fell by 27%, robberies are down and rural thefts are down as well. So some really positive progress. We're not complacent because there's still some more work to do in order to bring crime down further, but a real step in the right direction.
Because it was those two big issues of knife crime and rural crime that you've been particularly focusing on recently. How do you feel kind of seeing that work you've been doing to focus on those areas rewarded in lower statistics year on year?
I think it's positive, but the real test is whether or not people are feeling the benefit of it. So knife crime is down in Kent by nearly a fifth in recent years, and also thefts of agricultural equipment and technology is down as well by a substantial amount. But do the rural communities feel it, and do local communities feel it? That's what I want to see. So we'll continue to put neighbourhood officers out on the beat. We'll continue to bear down on those offenders to make sure that people feel the benefit, not just see the numbers.
But stats have gone up in other areas. The Commissioner has been chatting about that too.
What we've been really focused on, particularly with rape and sexual offences, is giving victims the confidence to come forward, knowing that they will be heard, that they will be listened to, and that their investigations will be taken seriously. So we've been trying to encourage more people to come forward and make sure that we get better outcomes, which is through Operation Sotira we have been seeing. With shoplifting, again, it's part of the national trend of the increase in retail crime. We've done a lot of work with businesses to, again, encourage them to report things to us and come forward. We've also been able to increase our solved rates and our outcome rates for shoplifting. So not only are we seeing more reports, we're seeing more people being held to account for those offences.
With the shoplifting in particular, do you think that it reflects shops working better together to report these crimes, or do you think there is a genuine uptake in people stealing more from shops in our current economic climate?
I think it's a bit of both. We've done a lot of work with businesses to encourage them to report, which they were not doing before. But we also know that in some other areas where we've been able to focus our policing resources, shoplifting has started to come down. So there is some work that needs to be done that we are doing through my retail crime board to analyse quite what is happening in that space. It is a crime which is massively underreported anyway, so we want to encourage more people to come forward, more people to tell us about what's happening, so we can bring more offenders to account.
And when it comes to fraud, fraud's an interesting one because it can mean so many different things. It can exist in the digital and the physical space. Why is fraud being in particular so difficult to kind of crack down on? Are the numbers reflecting an increase perhaps in online fraud of people being ripped off when they're on the internet?
There'll be a number of factors. I mean, again, fraud is a crime that we know only a certain amount about because not all of it is reported. We know that the previous government and the new government are going to take action by investing in tackling fraud. But it is also to do with the fact that many of these offences don't actually take place in the UK. So whilst the victims might be here, the perpetrators are abroad. So the investigative capability to work with other jurisdictions to bring people to justice is much, much, much harder. So any information we can get about fraud, I would always say report it to Action Fraud. If it's a trading standards issue, report it to the council to make sure that we know absolutely everything that's going on. The more we know, the more we can do to bring it down.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have spent more than 24 hours tackling a blaze at a laundry business in Faversham. 10 fire engines and a height vehicle were sent to Ashford Road yesterday evening. Video at Kent Online shows huge plumes of smoke coming from the building. No one was hurt and it's thought to have started accidentally. Elsewhere, fire crews are due to spend another day at the scene of a recycling depot blaze in Gravesend. Around 5,000 tonnes of scrap metal caught alight on Crete Hall Road in the early hours of Monday. There was another smoke warning yesterday, but we're told it's no longer affecting the area and there's good progress in putting out the flames. A woman who punched a taxi driver after refusing to pay the £8 charge for a journey home has been ordered to do unpaid work. The cabbie called police after being attacked by the 41-year-old who'd been on a night out in Maidstone. She's also been told to pay compensation and costs.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for homes to be built on the site of a former school in Chatham quickly to stop vandals from targeting the disused building. A number of fires have been reported at the old St John Fisher on Ordnance Street. Abul Kalam Azad's family live nearby.
I'm telling this because as many times it causes fire. So it's better as soon as possible if they're making houses there and people live there. So it's maybe this coming up solved.
And you said it was your mother-in-law who lives here. Did you say she? Yeah, tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, my mother-in-law lives there. So she always sees people inside and the broken glasses, windows, and firing about 4 or 5 times fire so far. So that's not good, you know. So please, as soon as possible, you make a house there.
The land is owned by Utopia Homes and is due to be demolished to make way for 139 properties. The developer's waiting for a decision from the Secretary of State before work can start. Plans to build new houses next to a vineyard near Canterbury have been given the go-ahead. Developers want to knock down 6 buildings at the former Barnum Court Farm and replace them with 22 homes. It's right next door to the Simpsons Wine Estate. Plans have been put in for more than 1,300 homes near Whitstable. A primary and separate Send School are also planned for land off South Street in Chestfield. Pictures at Kent Online show what the Brooklands Farm development could look like if it's approved. £200,000 is going to be spent on doing up a courtyard outside a disused department store in Canterbury. The site next to the old Nason's is home to a Grade 2 listed war memorial but has fallen into disrepair. City Council bosses have now approved plans to make it more welcoming. Now, figures seen by Kent Online show the percentage of people registered as stem cell donors here in the southeast is below the national average. Only 2.3% of 16 to 65-year-olds in the region are on the database. The info has been released on World Blood Cancer Day, as experts say around 2,000 people in the UK are currently in need of a transplant. 6 baby hedgehogs have died after a woman was allegedly seen shooing their mum with a broomstick out of her garden in Ashford. The injured animal was taken to a rescue centre in Pluckley and gave birth, but sadly none of the babies survived. The mother is still being cared for.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see two tigers who are settling into their new home in Kent. Duke and Tora have made the short journey from a site in Sandwich, which closed during the pandemic, to Wingham Wildlife Park. The brother and sister will be able to enjoy one of the largest tiger houses in the UK. Meanwhile, a rare snow leopard has been born at a Kent animal park. Layla gave birth at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden earlier this month. Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to the site's managing director, Cam Whitnell.
We're really pleased to announce that we've had a little snow leopard cub. She's a female. She's been nicknamed Little Lady for the time being, but we will be running a naming competition. But yeah, she's growing really well. I mean, she had her first health check at 5 days old. I went in there at 12 days old as well to give her another health check. She's growing great. She's got a nice full belly of milk, which is important. Mum is doing good. So yeah, we're really happy.
And this isn't Layla's first cub, is it?
No, she's used to being a mum now, so she's had it's her fourth litter. But it's so important for the endangered species breeding program. So obviously her cubs have gone off to wildlife institutions across Europe to help with that healthy captive population, providing that critical safety net for their species. And obviously we're working directly with Snow Leopard Trust, who are the main conservation organization for snow leopards in the wild. So yeah, so it's a really, really important thing to happen.
Now, if we were going to send some viewers down to the Big Cat Sanctuary, would we be able to see the little cub yet, or do we need to wait a little bit longer to be able to see her?
Yeah, so unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to see her yet. We're only monitoring her through CCTV cameras in the den. Once she's had all of her vaccines and jabs, then at around 3 months is when she'll be taking her first steps outside with mum. So, yeah, we've got a little bit more time to wait. But in the meantime, we're going to be sharing stuff on social media, you know, cute videos of mum and cub, and just seeing her develop as well. You know, they grow very quick. And even just when I was in with her the other day doing a health check, she's got razor sharp claws already. They're like little needles. She's got a big full belly. But yeah, she's growing every day. But unfortunately, 3 months is around the time where she'll be going outside for the first time.
You can see some of those early pictures in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly, taking a look at tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu says she can take plenty of positives from her performance during the clay court season. The 22-year-old British number two from Orpington was knocked out in the second round of the French Open by defending champion Iga Swiatek. She's had some decent results over the last few weeks and says she's now looking forward to playing on her favourite surface, grass.
I do feel comfortable, obviously, being at home and having that environment around me. Last year, I had a great season, and I'm looking forward to kind of being in the same environment, being at home, having the home support. And I think all of us really thrive in that environment, and it's just, yeah, a really healthy and kind of happy time.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.